Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I hope everyone is doing well. Welcome to our Monday night edition of the 5 Series. Alhamdulillah, we are down to the last two episodes of this month, and actually the last two episodes of the year. And this month, alhamdulillah, we have been blessed with the opportunity to talk about the topic of dua, the topic of supplication, the topic of a personal connection with Allah and what we do in different aspects of that supplication. How do we make it? What are the steps of making it? What are some of the beautiful traditions of du'as that were made by the prophets? What do we make du'a for? And today we're going to be talking about something that I think is actually on everyone's mind, to be quite honest with you, right? Because, you know, human beings at the end of the day are flawed people, right? We are people who have trouble understanding, comprehending, internalizing certain aspects of our faith just because we're human. We don't really have all the answers, and sometimes it bothers us a little bit, right? And so today, the topic that we're going to be covering is the topic of what to do if your du'as are not answered, or why are my du'as not answered? How do I know if my du'as are answered or not, right? How do I go about that journey? What do I do if I feel like I supplicated and I made du'a for something and I didn't get it back exactly the way that I wanted it to be returned? And so how do I go about processing that information and processing that understanding? So the first thing that I wanted to kind of, you know, touch upon with everybody, to share with everybody, is to reflect upon the verse that we talked about dua. So what is the essence of dua? So we should all understand by this point that dua is not just an order, right? It's not just an order that we give Allah. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He says in the beginning that when my servants ask you of me, and he's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam here, Allah is talking to the Prophet, and he says, whenever my servants ask about me, right? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Then tell them that I am near, okay? Like, if there's one thing that Allah wants us to know about him, is that he's close. He's always close, right? That there is no distance created from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation. In fact, the only distance that is ever present between creator and creation is the distance that we have actually put in place between ourselves and God. That God will never be one who distances himself from his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's default status in our lives is always described in the word qaribun. And the word qaribun means close. He's always close. There's this kind of nearness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation, that even if you don't believe in him, he still protects you. And the proof of that actually is that, you know, are there people alive to this day that don't believe in Allah? Yes, there are. Do they still have an entire life to turn their qadr around? Yes, they do. Are there people on earth that don't believe in God that still reap the blessings of God? Yes, absolutely there are. And so that is proof in and of itself that فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ is a reality, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close no matter who you are, right? Allah is still your God, right? Just because you don't believe in him doesn't mean that he's not your God. He's still your God. You have actually, unfortunately, diminished your relationship with him, but he's still there for you, right? فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And then he says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. He says, I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. I respond to the call of the caller when they call upon me, okay? Ujibu da'wati da'i idha da'ani, right? And that is a beautiful, beautiful kind of really amazing sentiment from God, that, you know, this means that he's always listening, right? This is the first kind of, you know, first thing that we have to understand when we talk about what do I do if my du'as are not answered. First and foremost, your du'a is heard. Your du'a is heard. I think a big anxiety of a lot of people is when we feel like our plea is not heard, right? I mean, this is why there's this idea of social anxiety, right? Did that person leave me on read? Did that person even, you know, see that they missed a call from me? Did that person even realize that I sent them an email like a week ago? Did they just like open it and never respond to me? You know, we have all these thoughts and ideas in our minds about what happens when, you know, if somebody looks at my message and does not respond, do they even care about me? Do they really appreciate me in their life if they really just saw that message and they didn't reciprocate it? That's where all of our anxiety comes from. What if? What if that person doesn't care about me? What if that person didn't listen to me? What if that person didn't hear me? All these questions rush through our minds. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I hear you. I hear you. Don't ever think that I don't hear you. Every time you make a dua, I hear you. There is never a time where a human being, a worshiper, a believer, a da'i makes a dua and it's not heard by God. It's never the case. Allah hears every single dua that you have ever made in your life. And there's actually a beautiful hadith that we're going to end with today that will illustrate and help us understand that concept, that every dua that you have ever made has been heard by Allah. Everyone, whether you feel like it was answered or it wasn't answered according to your understanding, your mind, your intellect, Allah says that He heard it. He heard it. There was never a time where Allah left you unread. There was never a time where Allah heard you and said, no, I don't want to listen to this. There was never a time like that. He says that I hear you every time. Okay, I hear you every time. I respond to the call of the caller when he or she calls upon me. And so Allah says after that, He says, so let them, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So let them respond to me, وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. So let them respond to me with obedience, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Okay, and believe in me, perhaps they will be guided towards the right way. That's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks of us, right? That I hear you. I hear every dua you've ever made. Every single dua you have ever made, I heard you. I listened to you. So all I ask you to do is respond to me by number one, obedience. Okay? By obedience. And yu'minu bi. And believing in me. And then then you might be rightly guided. So we learn a couple of things from this verse that I want to reiterate before we get into like the actual crux of today's session, is that number one, He's always listening. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tells us that I respond to you. I respond to you. Now response in terms of the definition of the word can be different in terms of the way you define it versus the way I define it, right? Maybe you define response as you responded to me the way that I wanted you to respond to me. But what if I responded to you in a way that you didn't actually consider it an actual response, right? Because response can be received differently from different people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I respond to the caller of the caller when he or she calls upon me. Every single dua I respond to. So let them, after I respond to them, respond back to me with obedience, yu'minu bi, and belief, and so they may be rightly guided. And so this is the standard verse that describes the idea of dua. So what are some of the reasons now? Let's talk a little bit one-on-one, even though it's not one-on-one. Let's talk a little bit, you know, heart-to-heart, because even though we're not in person here right now, I would still love to connect heart-to-heart with everyone that's listening today. What are some of the reasons why sometimes do we feel that our duas are not being answered by Allah? Let's talk about this. This is important because a lot of us, you know, our relationship with God is a very sensitive thing. I mean, for how many of us do we feel that religion or faith or spirituality is a very, very personal thing, right? It's a very personal thing. I do not like to talk about it too much with other people because it's such a sensitive, intimate kind of relationship that I have in my life, me and God, right? So whenever a person feels that God has not answered their dua or their prayer, it means something to them, right? The reason why it bothers us so much is because we care about it, right? If I send somebody a text message and I don't really care for a response, then is it really going to bother me if that person never responds to me? Probably not, right? Probably not. I mean, if a person doesn't really respond who I don't really have a relationship with or care for a relationship with, it's not really going to bother me. The proof in the reality of our intimate relationship with God is that it does mean a lot to us. And so that is why, you know, we feel sometimes upset when a dua is not answered in the way that we want it to be answered. So what are some of the reasons to why that could possibly be? The scholars give us a few tips and points as to why. Number one, they say the most important condition without which any dua will not be accepted is to ask someone else other than Allah for something, right? The first thing is you have to sincerely ask yourself, is Allah the one that you are ultimately asking? Is Allah the one you are ultimately asking? And sure, we can say that, you know, I made dua, I asked Allah for something, but in your heart, what do you truly believe? What do you truly believe? Once Allah does not give something to you, are you okay with that ordainment? Are you okay with that decision? Or do you say, no, this wasn't the right decision. I still need this in my life, right? It's a very disciplinary issue, actually, once you kind of look at it from different angles. When Allah does not give you something that you wanted, you know, are you okay with that qadr? Are you okay with that destiny? Are you okay with that will? Right? Because the word qadr means a couple of different things. The word qadr means greatness, power, right? It also means destiny, predestination. It means Allah's will and His order. So are you okay with Allah's qadr if He hasn't given you something that you asked for? And you know what's amazing is that believing in Allah does not only mean thanking Him for what He gave you, it means being okay with things that He didn't give you. Right? That's even more difficult, actually, right? Thanking Allah for what He gave you, because it appeals to the human emotion, right? Allah gave me something, so I say thank you. I say alhamdulillah. I say all praises to God, right? Subhanallah, glorify God. But the harder thing to do is react when you don't get something from Allah that you asked for. That is the true test of faith. That's the true test of, am I really the best believer that I can be? So that's number one. Okay. Number two, the scholars, they say, is, are you in a hurry to make dua? Are you in a hurry when you make dua? Are you hasty when you make dua? You know, the scholars, they say that we should always take our time in making dua. By rushing it while making dua, we might be missing expressing gratitude for what we already have. Remember to send gratitude to Allah the Almighty, praising Him and sending Him and sending salawats upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then making dua. The second point here is, are you taking your time to make dua? You know, whenever we really focus in on things in our lives, and I don't know what everyone on this call, right, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, if, you know, what are you passionate about, right? Maybe you're passionate about art. Maybe you're passionate about sports. Maybe you're passionate about science. Maybe you're passionate about medicine. Maybe you're passionate about photography and film or whatever it may be, right? When it comes to our passions, we always take time, right? I don't know if any of you guys are, you know, big on cooking, right? I don't know how many people here are big on cooking and culinary and this and that, all that stuff. But when I cook, at least, right, when my wife and I are at home and I decide that I want to cook tonight, I always take my time, right? Because I want to make sure every flavor is perfect. You don't want to rush the cooking process, because if you rush it, you're going to get something wrong at the end of the day. You're going to get a part of your meal that's not going to taste as good as it should have, because you rush the process, right? And if any of you guys are into baking, I'm not. I'm terrible at baking, because baking requires such a precision of a mind that you have to be very precise with exactly the measurements, with the time, with the process and everything like that. Right. And if you mess up baking, even by, I remember one time my wife and I remember one time I wanted to surprise my wife by making like this batch of like cookie dough. And I really wanted to surprise her. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. This is a new recipe. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And it was kind of like this like novice amateur move for me when I realized that I had accidentally put a little bit too much flour into the mixture. And you know, if any of you guys have ever baked, you know that like once you put a little bit too much flour into the mix, there's very little that you can do to take it out. You just got to start all over again, start from scratch. And so I said, you know what, like, forget it. Let me try to do this. Bismillah, Allah got me. And I tried to kind of like go through with the recipe, even though I added like even one fourth of a too much cup of flour. And the cookies, once I baked them, they came out like cake. It was like, my wife was like, did you make muffins or did you make cookies? I can't really tell. And I was like, wow, every word that you're saying right now is like a dagger to my heart, but that's okay. I take the hit because I didn't follow it according to plan. But those of us who understand that it requires precision, you understand that, you know, one small mishap could actually ruin it. Right. And we focus in very much on it. Right. People who stay after school to finish their projects, people who stay after work to finish that thing that they're working on. We stay and make sure we pay attention to every single article that comes out, every single study that comes out. But when it comes to our worship, we're just like, oh, Allah, give me something that I really want. Yeah, Allah, I really, really need to buy. And that's it. Or when it comes to our salah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, Ihdinas Sirata al-Mustaqim. We skip like three ayat, right? Like we just speed through our worship. So when we speed through our worship, can we really expect a response in the way that we want it when our output was actually something that was so weak, right? We have to ask ourselves, what are we putting out? What's our output? And then we ask ourselves, what did we get back in return, right? So did we take our time? Number three, the scholars, they say, remember Allah in times of hardship, that people who remember Allah in times of hardship but fail to remember Him during the times of happiness. This is another kind of point that the scholars bring up about people who complain about their du'as not being answered. Are we only reaching out to God during times of difficulty and we fail to remember Him during times of ease and happiness? You know, there's a very, very huge principle in this, that loyalty does not just mean reaching out to somebody when you need them. Loyalty is checking in on somebody when you don't necessarily need anything from them. Have you guys ever been through days where you don't really need anything? Right. This actually happened to us like this past couple of months on Black Friday. Usually there's always like this thing where like, oh, we can get a deal on like, oh, this pressure cooker, or we can get a deal on like this, you know, new monitor, or we can get this deal on this new kitchen gadget, whatever it may be. This was kind of like one of the first years my wife and I, we said to each other, we're like, Alhamdulillah, man, I'm good. Like, I don't really need anything. Right. You not needing anything is actually a blessing in and of itself. Right. You not needing something is actually a blessing in and of itself. That for the first time, you feel that life is, alhamdulillah, it's okay. I can deal with it, right? Like there's nothing urgent that I need right now. And with that realization that you don't really need anything right now is the realization of gratitude of itself. That Allah, you gave me, alhamdulillah, such a good couple of months or a good year that I can't really think of anything that is bothering me right now. And for that, I thank you because I don't really have any complaints. And that's a very beautiful thing. So remembering Allah during times of good, along with the times that you remember Allah when you're in hardship, right? So having both of those things taken care of. Number five is be confident in your dua. Be confident in your dua. Understand that Allah is listening to you. And Allah says that, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that I'm close. I'm always close to my believers. I'm always close to my worshipers. I'm always close to the ones who love me, who ask mercy from me. I'm always close. So be confident in me. There's actually a beautiful, you know, tradition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that we actually shouldn't say insha'Allah after your dua, right? And it's very interesting because in every other facet of life, we're used to saying inshallah, right? You go to the store, somebody says, oh, hey, what are you getting? Are you making this? You say, yeah, I'm making that tonight, inshallah, right? Like, oh, hey, what are your plans for the winter break? Oh, my plan is to go and visit my family, inshallah. Oh, what are you trying to do next year? Are you trying to get into med school? Yeah, I'm trying to get into med school. That's why I'm taking the MCAT right now. So hopefully I do well on it, inshallah, right? So we're very used to saying inshallah, but the Prophet teaches us when you make dua, have so much confidence. You shouldn't actually say inshallah because you're talking to Allah. You're talking to God. When you talk to God, you don't say inshallah because you're speaking to Him. You're speaking one-on-one. You're saying, Allah, I need this from you. When you say inshallah is when you're talking to other people about God. When you say inshallah is when you're speaking to someone else about the idea of something that you want from Allah. When you talk to Allah one-on-one, you don't say inshallah. It's a form of respect. Because you're saying, Ya Allah, I'm talking to you right now. So I don't need to say inshallah because I'm talking to you, Ya Allah. I say, Alhamdulillah. I say Subhanallah. You actually say Subhanaka. The term, the phrase or the term ka, it means in Arabic, it means you. It's like you're talking to Allah like right in front of you. You're not talking to Allah in third person anymore. So when you're making dua, you should be talking as though Allah is sitting in front of you right then and there. It's not like Allah is witnessing your dua from like a third person point of view. Allah should be the second person in the room when you're talking. Ya Allah, Subhanaka, right? Oh Allah, glorified are you. So this is the terminology that we want to use. And the last thing I want to mention before I share the beautiful hadith that I promised I'm going to share with all of you is that another point to understand is to realize that the response to your dua may take different forms. This is like the crux of understanding, you know, the feeling of not having your dua answered. Understand that your dua might be answered in different forms. And this is where I want to share this really, really cool, amazing hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared with us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he said that there was a man who was speaking with Allah. There will be a man who speaks with Allah on the Day of Judgment. There will be a person who speaks with Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell this man, he will say, did you know that every dua that you have made, I've answered. Every dua that you have made, I have answered. Every single one of them. I have answered exactly how it was supposed to be answered. And you and I, as human beings, will be kind of thinking to our own selves and we'll say, well, there was like one time, right? I know a lot of du'as that I made you answered, but there was like that one time that I remember I asked for something and I didn't really get it back exactly the way I thought I would get it back, right? Like I made this request or I made this supplication, but it didn't come return to me the exact way I had thought of it. I had dreamed it, right? But you're standing in front of Allah on that day and you as the makhluq, right? You as the makhluq, like you as the creation, you have like no sort of right to tell Allah, no, Allah, you didn't answer because you're in front of Allah. What are you going to tell Allah, right? So the believer will stay quiet and Allah will say, did you not ask me to remove a calamity from you one day? And I actually removed that calamity from you? And you will say, yes, Allah, you did. Absolutely. I remember there were times where I asked you to relieve me of this stress or this calamity or this trial or this tribulation that you took away from me, ya Allah. And forever, I am thankful for that. And then Allah says, well, wasn't there a time where you asked me to relieve you of a calamity and I actually let that calamity or that trial befall you? And the worshiper, the slave, the abd, will say, yes, Allah, I remember. I remember that there was a moment where I made dua and I asked you to relieve me of this, but trial and tribulation and difficulty still hit me. And Allah says, well, because of that, I am relieving you of some pain in the hereafter. I'm relieving you of some difficulty in the hereafter. And the slave, the servant will remain silent. And then Allah will ask again, was there a time where you asked me of a blessing? Was there a time that you asked me of something and I gave it to you, Ya Abd? And the Abd will say, yes, yes, Ya Allah, I remember I asked you for something and you gave it to me exactly the way I asked you. And then Allah will ask, Ya Abd, was there a time where you asked me for something and I didn't give it to you? Do you remember that time? And the slave will say, Ya Allah, yes, I remember that. I remember that. I remember I poured my heart out and I said, you know, I really wanted to get into that school. I really wanted to move into that house. I really wanted to get married that year. I really wanted that thing in my life, but it was gone. You didn't give it to me, Ya Allah. And Allah will say, well, I reserved that gift for you in Jannah. I reserved that blessing for you in paradise. I reserved that goodness from you on earth, but I gave it to you in paradise. And then at that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the abd, the slave, he will say, Ya Allah, I wish, I want that whatever goodness you gave to me on this earth, that you took it away and you gave it to me in the hereafter. He said, whatever gift that you gave me, whatever blessing you gave me, whatever calamity you saved me from on the earth, I wish that you let me go through that And you gave me all the blessing and saved me from all the trials in the hereafter, Ya Allah. That's what the believer will say when he or she sees Allah on the Day of Judgment. And he's talking to Allah on the Day of Judgment. He'll say, Ya Allah, whatever you gave me in this life, I would rather have it in the hereafter, Ya Allah. Perspective, y'all. Perspective is always the key when we think about dua. We're so often caught up in the moment when we think of what we want and what we do not want. We are so caught up with our idea of right and our idea of wrong, our idea of good and our idea of bad. Ask yourself, when you see Allah on the Day of Judgment and you're finally able to kind of like rewind your life on like the DVR, you're able to rewind your life on the cassette player for those of you who are born before 1998, right? If you're able to rewind your life, you know, on the playlist, and you're able to see, Ya Allah, if I had just gone through that trial, I could have handled it. But if that meant that I could have been relieved of a trial in the hereafter, I would have taken that. I would have taken that. You know, and the blessing that you asked for in this world, you would say, Ya Allah, if you withheld that blessing from me in this world, I could have dealt with it. I could have dealt with it if it meant that I get your Jannah. I receive your paradise. I receive your paradise. You know, and I'll end with this. There was a beautiful, you know, there's a very beautiful ayah at the last part of Surah Al-Bayyinah. You know, Allah says, Jaza'ihim inda rabbihim jannatin adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha abada radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشْيَ رَبَّهُ Allah says, you know, there's a very beautiful hadith where Allah says that he is speaking to some of his worshippers in paradise. He says, oh, inhabitants of paradise, هَلْ رَضِيتُمْ هَلْ رَضِيتُمْ Are you happy? Are you pleased? And the people of paradise, they will look at Allah and they say, Ya Allah, like, I'm literally chilling in paradise. Why would I not be pleased? Like, this is the most pleasing thing that you can ever give anybody. And Allah says, should I give you something that is even better than this? And the believers will say, Ya Allah, what is better than this? What could be possibly better than this? And he says, my happiness with you. My happiness and my love and my pleasure for you. And I will never ever be angry or upset with you ever again. And the believers will say, Ya Allah, give us that. Give us that. You know? So always, always remember that, you know, when we ask the question, you know, why isn't my dua being answered? It's not a question of why is it not being answered. It's a question of why am I not being able to see the answer? That's the question that we should be asking. It's not about if it's answered or not. It's asking Allah to open our eyes to be able to see the answer. Maybe the answer is sitting right in front of us and we just don't see it. Maybe the answer is right underneath our very nose and we're just not being able to see it. So rather than asking God, why aren't you answering my prayer? Ask God, Ya Allah, please give me the eyes to see the answer of the dua that you've answered. Because Ya Allah, I know that you said in your Quran, you are the one who answers the call of the caller when he or she calls. So I know you heard me. I know you listened to me. Now help me see the answer that you've given me. Okay. And so this is the summary of our lesson for today. If anybody has any questions, we have about, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to ask certain questions. So there's a little question mark kind of bubble at the bottom of your Instagram live screen that you can actually ask a question in. And I'll be able to kind of pull it up on the screen so everyone else can benefit from your question and we can share a conversation, inshallah. And those of you who are on Facebook, obviously, you can just comment on that, inshallah. So somebody asked, how do you connect with Allah more at times of ease? How do you connect with Allah more at times of ease? In my opinion, and this is actually the opinion of our teachers as well, is the best way to connect with Allah during times of ease is to realize that ease itself is worthy of our gratitude. You know, the ease in and of itself is a form of gratitude, right? Like when we you know, Hasan al-Basri, he says this, that one of the forms of ingratitude is actually pointing out each and every calamity that befalls us. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he says that whenever a person counts every single one of their calamities and their trials, it's actually a form of ingratitude, because it's a way in which the person thinks of every difficulty that befell them, but they cannot remember the good times. You know, I gave this analogy before, is that, you know, when you're a kid and your parents keep on bringing up every mistake that you make, but they don't bring up the moments where you actually did some pretty good stuff, right? Like I cleaned the dishes without anyone having to tell me to. I, you know, took out the garbage without having anyone tell me to do it. I did something, you know, that was, you know, it may have been difficult for me to do without anyone having to tell me to do it, right? So being happy about the good times is a form of gratitude towards Allah, right? Like you're saying, Ya Allah, like, you know, it's like almost like something's wrong because so many things are going right. You feel uneasy because things are going so right. You almost feel like there's something coming your way. But just that moment, just saying Alhamdulillah and saying Ya Allah, I right now have no complaints. I have no complaints. I have nothing to complain about. You have given me a week that has been very beautiful. And that, in my opinion, is a very, very good place to start. Somebody asked a question over here. I've been told that if you're able to utter the dua between your lips and Allah is guiding you to make it, is that true? I've been told that if you're able to utter the dua between your lips and Allah is guiding you to make it. Yes. So, well, I'm not sure exactly the reference that you're making right here and right now, but one of the things that we did cover together this past month is that, you know, there are things that you can do in terms of your dua that does not necessitate you following certain protocols that we would follow if it was another form of worship. So for example, you know, when you pray, when you make salah, you have to be in wudu, right? When you make salah, you have to be facing the qibla. When you make salah, certain things have to be met as a prerequisite to your salah. But there are also things that that would beautify your dua, even though you don't have to do it, right? So one of the examples is that the scholars, they say, even though you can make dua silently, you can make dua without facing the qibla, you can make dua without raising your hands even, your dua is still acceptable. But does it mean that you should not say it out loud? Does it mean that you should not face the qibla? Does it mean that you should not make wudu before you make your dua? No. Anything to beautify your dua is something that is praiseworthy, right? So do things that will beautify your dua. Sometimes for me personally, I'll say very personally, give like a really, really kind of intimate answer to this, is that some of my best du'as are actually done privately when like no one's watching me, right? And I understand the blessing of making du'a collectively, you know, with people during Ramadan, during like, you know, a specific prayer or whatever it may be, or reflection, whatever it may be. But sometimes maybe for you, your most amazing du'a will be made while you're completely private, just with you and Allah and nobody else, right? That's a very, very good kind of way to think about it. Somebody asked, this is inshallah the last question that we'll go through. Somebody else asked how to tell for a dua if you didn't try hard enough, or if Allah shown to withhold it from you. For example, if you made dua to get an A on a test, but you didn't get it, how can you tell if you didn't study enough for Allah, or if Allah didn't give you the A because he knows best? Very good. Very, very beautiful question. I love this question. So somebody on Facebook asked, how do you know that the response of Allah is something that is good for you, that Allah ordained upon you, or was it your own weakness of preparation? Did you just not prepare hard enough to do what you set out to accomplish? Very, very good question. There's a very beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Imran where Allah says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ, where he says that, you know, once you have made your decision, or once you have done what you can, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, put your trust in God. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ, because verily Allah loves those who put their faith in him. In this verse right here, the scholars, they say that a believer's role in doing whatever they can, then making dua, is number one, part one, to make sure that you did whatever you possibly could. That actually not doing whatever you can in your own capability, in your own potential, is a means of laziness, right? That Allah actually gave you means of doing great things, right? Like Allah gave you a beautiful mind. Allah gave you intellect. Allah gave you strength. Allah gave you confidence. Allah gave you the energy to do certain amazing things. And to say, and this is kind of the analogy of like getting into a car and saying, oh Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and driving like a maniac, right? Like that's not a way that you fulfill a dua, right? Like dua is first and foremost making sure that you can do whatever you can in your ability to accomplish whatever you're setting out to accomplish, and then saying, Allah, I put my trust in you. Whatever good comes out of this, give it to me. Whatever you withhold from me, may it be for the best, right? فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Oh Allah, I'm going to do whatever I can, and then you know you rely upon God for his you know blessing upon you or whatever he has in store for you. And so you know whether you studied hard enough for a test or not, I think that is up to you to figure out and say, did I really put my best effort forward to do well on this exam as much as I possibly could have, or did I not try as hard, right? And either way, whatever results you get back is a form of learning, right? Whether it was something that was good for you and you got an A and alhamdulillah, everything was great, or whether it was like a B or a C or whatever you received and you didn't really like it, you say, khalas, maybe the reason why I got this back is because Allah is telling me I can try harder next time. I can spend a few more hours studying next time. I can make a little bit more dua next time, right? So that would be the answer to that question. So inshallah, with that, we're going to wrap up. May Allah Ta'ala accept from us. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make our du'as beautiful. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala allow us to be people who think of ourselves as beneficiaries of his blessing and people who can always benefit from Allah's mercy and Allah's love. And when we ask, why wasn't my du'a answered? We rephrase that question to ask, Ya Allah, allow me to see the answer to your du'a. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide every single one of us and bless us and forgive us for our shortcomings and our sins and accept from us all. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. Thank you so much for joining in. I apologize we ran a tiny bit late because of the Q&A, but inshallah, may Allah accept from every single one of us. Ameen. Jazakallah khair, y'all. Assalamu alaikum.